in verse 8, at timely, because those of us who were out of power today, we came to church, flipped the switches, and nothing. But we decided, we'll have church anyway. And then the lights came back on, so we're glad for that. But Psalm 36 and verse 8, also verse 9, let's read together. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life, in thy light shall we see light. Praise God. There's an abundance of blessing noted in that passage of Scripture. And I'm so thankful that the Lord provides all of it and more, and especially light. Amen. We see light. Thank God for the power of the Lord. You can be seated. The summer solstice is a time that people schedule festivals, markets, and various activities just as a mark of the season. And some take it even further to worship the sun and those kinds of things, bringing back ancient teachings and festivals, I suppose. But I thank the Lord for our sunshine. Amen. I thank the Lord for our solar system and how amazing that it is. And then the Webb telescope and Hubble and all of these things just make us understand how very tiny we are as a part of this great universe that our God spoke into existence when he said, "Let there be light." Amazing, isn't it? Incredible. And that's the God that we serve. And that's the God who has promised abundance. Abundance. And I'm thankful that there is that abundance of blessings that he makes known. Now, the children of Israel, the Israelites traveling from bondage in Egypt and moving into the promised land, had a series of ups and downs, at least in their opinion, in their observations, that things just weren't as powerful and wonderful, perhaps, as they thought. But the problem was they were forgetting their baby boys being thrown into the Nile River. That's what they were forgetting. They were forgetting the taskmaster's whips cracking across their backs as they labored to build the architectural wonders of the Egyptian civilization. But the Lord provided abundantly. Quail in the evening at one instance, and then manna in the morning. Amazing abundance for all. They gathered just enough for their household. The quail covered the camp in the evening as God promised. It happened just that one time. But every morning there would be the manna. And then the murmuring started. How could there be murmuring when there would be the fantastic abundance that the Lord had for them? But the murmuring among the mixed multitude. You got to be careful, to make sure you don't have a mixed mind in terms of serving God. I'll serve God as long as he answers my prayers. I'll serve God as long as he provides for me financially. I'll serve God as long as he keeps me healthy. And when those things begin to fail, then I'm not going to show up. No, there needs to be a determination that is single-minded, wholehearted, with a desire to be in the presence of the Lord consistently. Amen. And not being mixed up or confused. God's not the author of confusion. If there's confusion, it's coming from another source. The Lord is the author of salvation. Salvation that's eternal. Praise God. And salvation that is so great. It's beyond description. It's abundant. And thank God for the power that is there. They remembered the Egyptian fish. They remembered the vegetables that were there. They didn't remember the hardship, but they were remembering those instances. And so they complained. They murmured. They carried on. So the Lord granted their request. And he said, you're going to have flesh and you're going to eat it. Not for 2 days, not for 5 days, not for 10 days, not for 20 days, but for a whole month. For a whole month, you're going to be satisfied with flesh. And you're going to eat it until it becomes loathsome. Now, loathsome is one of those words that you have to stop and think about. It means you're going to eat it until you gag. You're going to eat it until you become sick. And that's what happened. And when the Lord promised there would be the meat for a month, he wondered if all the fish in the sea, of all the flocks, would be enough. But when God says something's going to happen, it happens. And quail showed up 3 feet deep. And so they began to pluck and cook and chew. And then God smote them with a plague. You see, the scripture is so true. Psalm 106 and verse 15 gives this commentary about that particular time of the Israelites and their desires in the from the mixed multitude. God gave them their request, it says. Gave it to them. Here it is. Go ahead. Gather, cook, eat. He gave them their request, but he sent leanness unto their soul. Now, they had abundance in the sense of what they were desiring, what they were hoping for, but a leanness where it counts on the inside. They didn't have the priorities in the right place. That's why the scripture tells us to pray, "Thy will be done." Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. There's got to be that surrender every time. God, I need this. God, I need that. But I need your will more than anything. Amen. And thank God the Lord is able to operate in that area and that blessing. Water in abundance. We know the waters of Marah. Marah meaning bitter. Were made sweet. The 12 wells at Elim. Water from a rock. Water from rock again. The Lord providing for them, not just a trickle now, because they needed to water millions of people and their flocks. So you can just imagine in your mind the water gushing out of those rocks. Now, how in the world did it come there? God made the abundance. And then one time they gathered and they sang, "Spring up, O well." I don't know if they felt foolish. I don't know if they felt faithful. But God brought the results. That well did spring up in the desert place because God knows how to bring about the abundance. He knows how to provide for you and minister to you. The fatness of thy house brings satisfaction. The presence and the power of the Lord is going to bring about what he wants to bring into your lives. When you hear the word of God and you see the works of God, I'm thankful we can proclaim like David did, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Praise God. I'm not going to forsake it. I'm not going to chase after something else. I'm not going another direction. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God. Psalm 63 and 5, the psalmist wrote, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips." Praise God. Marrow and fatness is translated in different phrases. The riches of foods, or a banquet, or prime rib and gravy. That's a good one. "When I sit down to satisfy my hunger," the easy-to-read version says, "I sit down to satisfy my hunger. My joyful lips hunger to praise you." Praise God. That hunger can be satisfied in both realms. And I thank the Lord that he's able to bring forth goodness and power. Ezekiel is a book that has some mystery. There are a number of visions that he saw, the vision of Valley of Dry Bones and life coming back in, and the power of God restoring the people of Israel like an army. Chapter 47 speaks of water. Now, the interesting thing about the telescopes and the looking into deep space and the exploration there, they're always looking for water. Get excited on Mars. It looked like, this looks like a riverbed. Looks like there was one time water flowing there. And always hopeful for water, because water means life. And that's why Ezekiel's vision in chapter 47 includes water, an abundance of water. Israel is a semi-arid climate, so water is very important. And the Bible declaring here, Ezekiel saw the vision, waters issued from the house. And the angel of God directed him to keep stepping out more, to keep going deeper, to keep going farther. Praise God. And he gives dimensions there until it was waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. That's the abundance that the Lord is able to provide. Praise God. I'm thankful that there is life from the waters of the river of life. And the Bible talks about trees with leaves unfading and bearing new fruit. Leaves for medicine and fruit for food. It goes on to describe how all of this is a blessing of the Lord that we can expect as he provides. Now, the Lord got even more specific than that. In John 4 and 14, he talked about the water that I shall give. Twice he mentions the water that I shall give. Thank God that he put that aside. He separated it. He made it more distinct because he wants us to understand there's a blessing that he provides that is going to be abundant. Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now the woman he was speaking to said, give me that water so I don't have to come to this well to draw every day. She missed it. Natural compared to spiritual. But eventually she caught up. Praise God. And oh, thank the Lord for the tremendous revival that Acts chapter 8 talks about in the city of Samaria. There was great joy in the city, the power of God being demonstrated in supernatural means, and the name of Jesus Christ being baptized and being filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the power of the Lord. John chapter 7. Jesus watched a ceremony taking place as the priest had a chalice from the pool and they were taking it to the temple. And Jesus interrupted that, crying out, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. I'm sure everybody's head turned to see who in the world is interrupting this important routine, this important ceremony. What's going on anyway? Why is he crying out in that manner? Because he was declaring that there is going to be an outpouring. He said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly or out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And then the parenthetical insert that John would make there. This spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, for that Jesus was not yet glorified. But thank God there came that moment. There came that day. There came that time with abundance. It was poured out. And I'm thankful that the Word of God is fulfilled. Paul wrote about drinking from the Spirit. And it's an interesting phrase in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. He said, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we've been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now, it's significant that he uses that word drink, because you do that with your mouth. And with your mouth, there's going to be the evidence that the Holy Ghost is there. Praise God. And you'll speak in a language that you do not understand, you do not know. Supernaturally, God bringing forth that power. You see, salvation is to be a concrete experience, not just a hope, not just a believe, not just cross your fingers, cross your eyes, cross your legs. Oh, God, I hope I make it. No, there's to be something that's powerful, something that's real. I'm thankful that repentance becomes a powerful experience as we reach out to the Lord. We go down in the waters of baptism in the precious name of Jesus Christ. We come up wet. There's no denying. It's happened. Praise God. I know that I know that I know what took place. And then we receive the Spirit of God within us and begin to speak in a language we don't understand. Amazing that God is able to fulfill it in abundance. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bartletts will be working. Their team will be working. They're desiring to see children being filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. And thank the Lord, it will happen because the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. Clear back in the Old Testament, the promises that were there again and again. Isaiah 12 and 3, for example. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw waters out of the wells of salvation. I'm thankful it's not a mournful tune that we sang. Oh, no, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. What a sad thing. What a horrible experience. Imagine if it was like that. There wouldn't be very many of us here, would there be? And oh, thank God. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Even the angels desiring to look into it is what the Bible says. Abundance that God has provided because it's a fountain of life. Praise God. Not the mystical fountain of youth, but powerful life in the Spirit of God. Jeremiah wrote about the fountain of living waters. He said, my people have committed two evils. They've forsaken the fountain of living waters, and they've made cisterns that can hold no water. How ridiculous. Whether that cistern is made out of planks of wood or if it's hewed out of stone. If it just leaks, what good is it? And Jeremiah wrote, by the hand of the Lord, that's what my people have done. They've gone to all that work. They've gone to all that labor. They've made them perhaps decorative. They've made them efficient. But water just leaks out. And here I am, the fountain of living waters. And they ignore me. What a dilemma. What a situation. No wonder the Lord becomes some frustrated at points and times and declaring, my people have forsaken me. The fountain of living waters. Jeremiah goes on to describe how that there are cold flowing waters that have been forsaken as well, clear into chapter 18. God help us not to ever forsake the fountain of living waters that we know to be the Spirit of God. The cold flowing waters of refreshment and renewal and restoration that he brings into us. We can be abundantly satisfied and know the power of the Lord that is there. David declared, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. He was free from want. He knew the hand of God would be there. The green pastures, the still waters, the restoration of his soul, walking in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, even walking in the valley of the shadow of death, fearing no evil. Praise God, because the Lord's with me. His rod and his staff comfort me. He prepares a table before me, even in the presence of my enemies, when I should be nervous, when I should be discouraged, when I should be afraid. The Lord sets me down at a table and says, here, there's abundance. You can feast. You can have refreshment. You can have everything you need. Don't pay attention to your enemies. They're not going to hurt you. They're not going to rise up against you. You can have victory in abundance. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. Goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The house of the Lord. Oh, there's fatness there. There's satisfaction there. Psalm 65 and 4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. Oh, wait, David, holy temple's not built yet. I know, he would answer. I've prepared for it. I've prepared with all my might. I've got it all ready. I've got it all prepared. Solomon is going to step up, and he's going to build that holy temple. Praise God, and thank the Lord. There would be the fullness and the fulfillment of the promises that the Lord has provided with the satisfaction of the goodness of the house. Praise God, and the pouring out that the Lord would do in his blessing and his abundance. Thank God. The Bible talks about him shedding on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. What did he shed on us abundantly? The Holy Ghost. Amen. And the renewing of the Holy Ghost. The power of the Lord that would be there. Joel chapter 2 being fulfilled in Acts chapter 2. Thank God that there would be the fulfillment of God pouring out of his Spirit. He said it twice, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Still happening. Still going on. Still taking place. Praise God. And I'm thankful that the Lord knows how to pour it out. Remember the story in the Old Testament about the widow with the two sons facing debt? And the prophet told her to gather vessels and pour out oil from a pot in her house with all the vessels she could borrow, everything that she could get a hold of, small and large, pretty and utility. Didn't matter. Start pouring it out. Praise God. Amen. And then, when she ran out of vessels, she ran out of oil. And the prophet said, sell that oil, and you and your sons live debt-free. Wonderful story. Great legend. Nice folk tale. Nice fable. No, it's not. God knows how to satisfy abundantly. God knows how to provide abundantly. Praise God. And I thank the Lord that he ministers. In that same chapter of 2 Kings, there was pottage or stew that was poured out, but it was poisonous. So the prophet sprinkled some meal into it, told him to pour it out again, and it was eaten with no harm. God knows how to provide for us. Amen. And even before the prophecy of Joel chapter 2, God pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh, Proverbs 1:23, the Lord said, I will pour my Spirit unto you. Praise God. Oh, the windows of heaven being opened, and God pouring out a blessing that you wouldn't even be able to contain it. We've seen it happen. We've seen it happen. Again and again. Praise God. Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Shed is often translated pour. Pour. It will pour forth. It will flood our hearts. Praise God. Psalm 63:5 that we read earlier, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, because the Lord knows how to bring about that abundance. Isaiah 58:11, the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden. And like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. There again, water, life, praise God, and the abundance that the Lord provides. Those of you who are gardeners, those of you who have a lawn, you know, we try our best to get that lawn to turn green, and then we got to mow it every week. You know, just become a prisoner to it. I think folks in Arizona have the right idea. We're going to make a rock garden. But let's get to the light. In thy light shall we see light. Praise God. And I'm thankful for the light that the Lord provides for us. You know, there's never been so much artificial illumination in our world and so little spiritual light. What a dilemma. God help us to be able to continue walking in His light. Praise God. The one who declared, "Let there be light." Now, it's significant. It's a powerful principle. He separated light from darkness. There's to be that continual separation. We're not to just continue wandering in darkness, not continue just experimenting with darkness. No, we want to continue in the light that He has given to us. Colossians 1 and 13, He delivered us from the power of darkness. Does darkness have power? Yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. And it holds people in bondage. It keeps them captive. They continue to wander in darkness. But God called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Thank God that He delivered us from the power of darkness. And not only delivered us, but He translated us into the kingdom. Praise God. Delivered and translated, transplanted and established. Thank God for the kingdom of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that is never going to be defeated, and it has abundance. Praise God. Amen. Now, we wrestle against darkness. We wrestle against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world. We're in a battle with the evil principles of darkness, but don't be intimidated. Don't feel like you're backed into a corner. Don't feel like you're without any resource. Light defeats darkness. Praise God. John 8 and 12, the Lord said, "I am the light of the world." I am. Clear back to Exodus 3:14. I am. Praise God. "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Praise God. What a powerful promise. And we read right over it. We go right through it. But oh, how we need to dwell on it. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for that light of life. Thank you, Lord, that I don't have to dwell in darkness. I don't have to be captive of darkness. I don't have to fear darkness. Thank you, Lord, that you've provided for me in every way. Now, I'm not just talking about what happens at 11:30 at night, maybe. I'm not talking about what, you know, when the sun goes down and we experience the twilight and so on. I'm talking about the spiritual darkness that the devil likes to force on people and capture them and hold them bondage. I'm thankful for the light that the Lord gives. You know, it's a strange statement in John chapter 3. Men loved darkness rather than light. Now, having experienced both sides, it's pretty simple to make the choice. I'm going to choose light. I don't like darkness. I don't like the way it felt. I didn't like the way I was looking at hell, and that was going to be my future. I'm thankful that the Lord delivered me. Praise God. And so I have the benefit of looking at both sides. But oh, I don't want to love darkness when I have the opportunity to walk in the light. And the Bible tells us that. Walk in the light as He is in the light. And we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. Oh, what a life. What a promise. What a blessing. Praise God. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Hallelujah. He delivers us from darkness. He told us to pray, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from negative habits. Deliver us from patterns that would bring bondage and oppression and depression and all of the aspects that the devil would try to bring into our lives. Now, understand that the Bible says that the angels that sin are cast down to hell, and they're held in chains of darkness. We sang about the Lord is going to break every chain. Praise God. The power of the name of Jesus Christ breaks every chain. It does. But those chains of darkness for the angels that sinned listened to the deceiver and were cast out. Thank God that we're going to have that opportunity to walk in light forever, not be reserved in everlasting chains under darkness that Jude 6 talks about, but light. Praise God, the light, the blessing of the light, the power of the light, the strength of the light that the Lord brings into our lives. Peter, James, and John on the mountain with Moses and Elijah and Jesus shining in glory and light. What an experience. What an incredible time that they had. And then John, he's the remaining apostle. He has that experience again. He heard a voice, and he turned to see who it was. And oh, man, all the aspects of light. Jesus in the midst of the candlesticks, shining bright and white as wool and snow. And his eyes as flames of fire, his body like a furnace, and he's standing in the stars, and it's like the sun shining in its strength. All of that so overwhelming. And John wrote it down. Praise God. Don't you know that encouraged that 90-year-old apostle? Don't you know that lifted him up out of the doldrums, if that's what he was in, on that Isle of Patmos? It wasn't a Mediterranean resort. It was a salt mine, and he was sentenced there to work for the rest of his days. But God, hallelujah, and 22 chapters of incredible revelation as he saw the Lord being victorious and the people of God being victorious and a multitude that could not be numbered that were there to rejoice in the Lord and in his light. Praise God. There's no sun, there's no moon, there's no candle. The Lord is the light and his glory is there. Praise God. The Lord God giveth them light and they shall reign forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Stand with me now, please. I'm thankful for what the Lord shows us in his light. I haven't seen the Lord like John described there in Revelation. I haven't experienced that, but I have seen his light. Praise God. In the midnight hour, and the tears falling on my pillow, I'm thankful that the Lord was there with his light. Praise God. Amen. When I was confused and didn't know which way to turn and what to do, I'm thankful the Lord was there to illuminate my path and to say, this is the way you go. Come on, I'm with you. I'm holding your hand. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to leave you. Praise God. And he leads us in that light. Thank the Lord. Amen. Because this is a treacherous world. Many voices calling. Many influences coming into your mind, into your heart. And how we've got to determine, Lord, show me your light, and I will walk in it. Lord, lead me in your light, and I'll not falter and fail. I'm going to keep going with you, Lord. Praise God. Amen. I trust that's your desire today. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. And if I'd like for you to come and let's stand in the altar area here now. Praise God.